This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 20th, 2010. I'm Caleb Brown. Mario Vargas Llosa has received this year's Nobel Prize in Literature, but he is more than that. He has been an outspoken figure against Latin American abuses of human rights. He spoke at the Cato Institute on the intersection of art and the struggle for freedom and modernization in Latin America. The event was held in November 2006.
I was asking myself, is this exactly true? Everything is on the guts in Latin America? Well, no. I think you have an exception to this rule of general decay, which is literature. I am not a nationalist. I am not arrogant. But I think that you can say that in this particular field, literature, and maybe in a wider artistic field, painting, music, Latin America has a very different reality. I think this is fair to recognize that we have been producing in Latin America poems, novels, paintings, musical compositions that are not provincial, that are not underdeveloped, that can be compared without any kind of complex with the best standards, artistic and literary, all over the world. If you think in poet like Neruda or Octavio Paz or César Vallejo, in novelists like Alejo Carpentier, García Márquez, in a writer like Jorge Luis Borges, and if you thank you very much, and if you think in paintings like Lamb, Tamayo, well, Diego Rivera. If you think that Latin America has been making dance in the whole world for the last 20 or 30 years, you can say that in this particular field, Latin America is not an underdeveloped world. That is a world that has been evolving, developing, and belongs now to the first world. Why? Why our poets, our novelists, our paintings, unlike our politicians, our entrepreneurs, our intellectuals, have evolved and are now citizens of the avant-garde? I think because certain trends or characteristics of the literary and artistic Latin American world. First of all, I think writers and poets in Latin America accepted globalization before the world was created. Our great writers, and I can go far away, Rubén Darío, for example, they had a vision over the national, regional, continental borders. They saw the world, and they opened themselves to the world. Their models were not provincial, regional. No, their models were the best works and creators, different cultures, different languages. The best poems came from France. They were totally oriented towards French literature and French artistic values. The best novels were written in the United States during the Lost Generation. Well, they read voraciously Faulkner, Hemingway, Scott Fitzgerald, John Dos Passos, and they contaminated themselves with the best that the literary creation could provide. Probably the most extraordinary case is Borges. Borges is someone that seems, when you read him, someone that received really the influence of everything that was important all over the world, all cultures, all languages. He read the best poets, he read the best essayists, he read the best philosophers, and in many cases in the original language. He was a citizen of the world, as were Vallejo, Neruda, all our great literary and artistic creators, when, unlike what happened in the literary and artistic field, Latin America was closing over itself, blinding itself towards what was happening outside, and doing and repeating, because of this lack of contamination with what was changing the world, repeating the mistakes and the errors of the past. I think this is the explanation of our underdevelopment. We have been, unlike writers and artists, totally reluctant to learn the lessons of the rest of the world, the successful stories. It's not an economic problem. It's not a political problem. It's a cultural problem. I was listening to some of the interventions, and the question is, why this populism? Well, populism is the oldest political tradition of humankind. Democracy, freedom, market economy, these are very recent, very modern notions. There was no tradition of this in any country until very, very recently. This came quite recently, and this is something that is there for everybody to adopt it, if it wish. Well, the countries that had adopted this have progressed and have modernized themselves and have become prosperous and, of course, freer and more civilized than the rest. We haven't done that because we were deeply rooted in an anachronistic and populist tradition. The circumstantial reforms of attempts of modernization have failed in so many cases because they were not supported by a conviction, by ideas, by the belief that only doing these reforms, these changes, we could really overcome our poverty and our inequalities. And what I am trying to say is that if this is true, well, it's the battle of ideas, which are the most important battle that we have to win in Latin America if we don't want to repeat eternally this cycle, which we are now seeing repeating itself in some countries, in spite of the fact that very, very recently these same countries had this horrendous experience of, we know what are the results of populism in economic, in social, and in the last run, also in political matters. That is why I think we must not permit the economists to say that development, progress, modernization is an economic problem. This is not true. The economy is just an aspect, important, but just an aspect of what is progress, what is modernization, what is development. What is really important is ideas and culture. We have to change the ideas and the culture that is deeply, deeply rooted in Latin America. We have to convince our fellow Latin Americans that businessmen, entrepreneurs are not exploiters, the enemies of the poor, that they are really the important tools for the creation of wealth and transformation, that capitalism, markets are not dirty words, that are words that are inseparable of progress, of prosperity, of civilization. That is socialism, communism, nationalization, nationalism, which are really the main reasons for our poverty, our misery, our inequalities. And, well, this is a cultural battle. This is a battle for ideas. It's difficult to win, but it's not impossible. We have heard the cases of so many countries that in very few years have changed completely from what they were because they adopted these new ideas, these kind of policies. Estonia is not, of course, the only case. There are Ireland, Spain. Spain, a very, very interesting, a fascinating case. You know, I went to Spain when I was just a student, and I remember what kind of country. It was an underdeveloped country, a Latin American country. And look now, the transformation is really extraordinary. But not only in economic terms. It's a cultural transformation. It's new ideas. And now this culture has impregnated everything. And, well, the example is there to follow. Well, I want to finish thanking once again the Atlas Foundation, Alex Chafuen, Cato Institute, for helping us to organize this conference. And thanking you very much for your cooperation and solidarity. Thank you very much.
Mario Vargas Llosa has received this year's Nobel Prize in Literature. This was a section of his talk at the Cato Institute in 2006. You can read some of Llosa's writings at our website, cato.org.